All right. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Great to be back after a little bit of time with the beautiful people of Mexico down there. Gracias, amigos. Those are the two words I learned while I was down there. But I want to welcome as well everybody in our ECR campus and those of you as well worshiping in our gathering services today. We are glad that you're with us this morning on this Vision Sunday. And what better day to talk about the guidance of God, how about it, church, than on this day that we always set aside as a church to think about how God has guided us in the past and all that God wants to do in and through our lives in the future. So we're glad that you're with us, all of us here today, as we worship the Lord. You know, sometimes I'll watch those hunting and fishing programs on TV or even online, and where you got these guides, you know, who I'm not much of a hunter or a fisherman anymore. Every once in a while, I'll go out with people and hunt grouse and things like that. But it's kind of cool. Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah, it's a good. It's really kind of fun to watch how these guides, and if you've ever been with a guide, you know they're just amazing. How they take people to the right spot. They know exactly where to go so that they can bag their trophy hunt catch just perfectly. But you know, did you ever think? We have guides for hunters. We have guides for fishing. We have some of you, I know, our battlefield guides over at Gettysburg. But do you ever think to yourself, wouldn't it be awesome to have somebody guiding you as well through the rest of your life? Like if you're dating, right? I mean, what a minefield that is in this day and age, right? And but to be dating and to have somebody whisper to you, no, not that one. He's crazy, right? You don't know it yet, but he's crazy. Go over here, find this person over there, or let's say you're in an argument with your spouse. I mean, I know that never happens to anybody at COD, right? But just when you're ready to say to your spouse that they're acting a lot like their mother. Right? To have the guide whisper, no, what are you thinking there? Don't even go there, right? Would it be awesome to have this expert, you know, with us, guiding us through all the twists and the turns of life? How about a church? Well, I want to say to you today that if you follow Christ, the Bible says that the Lord is your guide. The Lord is your guide. And if you go with me to the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus said this. He's not the one who introduced it. We actually find it introduced early on in the Word of God. But in John chapter 16 and verse 13, which is really, I think, the setup verse for our sermon here this morning, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit who's going to come as a result of him leaving this earth. He said this about the Spirit of God. He says, but he, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will, what church? Guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. I love that. How the Lord is our creator and our sustainer and our savior and our friend and our redeemer. He's all of these things. But the Bible also says that God is our guide. God is our guide. God came to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12. And he said to him, he said, look, I want you to leave your family and your country and go to the land that I will show you. God came to the people of Israel way back in the day, and he said, I'm going to guide you through a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding and in all our ways acknowledge him, he will guide our paths. And James said in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that God generously gives guidance to us in our lives. And so our God is a guide. But it seems to me that of all the aspects of God and his amazing character, it's like his guidance is the most complicated. It's hard for us to discern when and where and how God is guiding us. So we're in this series here called Focus, 2020 Vision for the life that we've always wanted. And today we want to talk about how in the year 2020, God wants to be your and my guide, our guide. I want you to go with me, first of all, today to the book of Psalm chapter 23, and let's explore this idea with this first idea here, that number one, that we need God's guidance. How about it, church? We need God's guidance. And here's what David wrote in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. He said this. He said, "The Lord is my," what, church? "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He guides me, leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Number one, we need the guidance of God. Now, you know, it's interesting how every country has a national symbol, right? The United States has the eagle. Russia has the bear. Great Britain has the lion. But I think David is writing here in Psalm 23 about our national symbol as God followers. In fact, this idea is the one symbol that we see more often than any other symbol in the scripture. It reminds us of how much we need the guidance of God, because our national symbol as Christ followers is a sheep. A sheep. You ever think about that? It's not a dog. It's not a cat, thank God. It's not a horse. Isn't it interesting how we have dog trainers, we have horse trainers, we can train Shamu the whale to do all kinds of things, but anybody ever hear of a sheep trainer? I looked on Wikipedia and you can find everything there. They don't exist. Sheep, that's who we are. And you know what? Sheep aren't the brightest animals, FYI. They're not in the circus. Have you ever seen a sheep in a circus? I haven't. They can't. David is saying here in Psalm 23 that sheep can't find good pasture, right? They can't go into rough waters. They need still or quiet waters, but they can't find that on their own. They can't find the right paths on their own. Sheep don't run fast. They trot, but that's about it. They easily get lost. They don't like change. They're easily frightened. I mean, that's us, church. How about it? And so that's why we need the guidance of God. And so get it down this morning. We need God's guidance because we don't know where we're going in our own strength. Now, I know some of you are really smart, and I respect how smart you are, but I want to say this morning with all due respect. You and I might be smart and successful, but we're sheep and we're dumb. Can I get a witness here today? We need God. Let me just make it personal here today. I need God desperately, because apart from him, I have no idea where I'm going. And neither do you, if you're really honest with yourself. And so the first thing we want to establish this morning, it doesn't really matter who we are. Doesn't really matter how educated we are, how successful we are, how prosperous we are. We need the guidance of God. Can I get a witness here, church? We need the guidance of God in our lives. We are sheep. He didn't call us an eagle. He didn't even call us a cat. He said we're sheep. Sheep. You and I are sheep, and we need the guidance of God. This is the second thing I want you to see this morning. I want you to see that God can use any way and any means to communicate to us. I want you to go to a fascinating passage of scripture with me today, to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22 is a very interesting passage of scripture there, to say the least. Something happened in Numbers 22 that probably has never happened to you. A donkey talked to a man, right? And the crazy thing is that the man talked back to the donkey. That's the really, I think, fascinating thing in this passage. So Numbers chapter 22 says this. Listen to this, church. It says, "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?'" And again, here's the fascinating thing. Balaam answered the donkey. I guess if a donkey talked to you, you'd probably answer him back too, right? So let's not knock on Balaam too much. Here's what he said. "You've made a fool of me." Imagine that, a donkey making a fool of a person. "If only I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." And the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? So now the donkey is reasoning with the human being here. No, Balaam says, as a matter of fact, the more I think about that, no, you've been a good donkey. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so he bowed low and he fell face down. Wow, a fascinating passage of scripture. A lot of us think that God's guidance is just for missionaries and pastors and ministry people, but you know, that's a misguided idea. So here's Balaam. He's a prophet. He's on his way, a little bit of background. He's on his way to the Midianites. They're the enemies of Israel, and they're trying to trick him, right? And so he's on his way there, and God sends an angel to stop him in his path. But Balaam doesn't see it, but the donkey does. And the donkey stops, and three times Balaam beats the donkey. And finally, the donkey starts talking to him, and he gets what's happening here. Now, again, I'm not sure what's crazier here, the donkey speaking or Balaam reasoning with the donkey. But the big idea here, and here's what we ought to get down, is, church, God can speak through anyone and anything at any time. Can I get a witness on that today? I mean, if he can use a donkey to guide Balaam, he can guide you and me through the varied and many experiences that we have in this life. And so we need the guidance of God. God can speak through any means. Number three this morning, we have to learn to recognize when God is speaking. Right? Isn't it interesting to you that the animal saw the angel, but the human being did not? That God was there in that situation. And this prophet of God did not see God at work in that time. Now, back when I was a kid, there was this TV show on called Let's Make a Deal. Anybody remember Let's Make a Deal? All the old people remember. I guess it was revived by Wayne Brady a number of years ago, but I don't think it's on anymore. But anyway, it was kind of a fun show. I remember I'd come home from school in the afternoon. My mom would be watching it sometimes. And the show always reached this climax by what was called the big deal of the day, right? Where two contestants were told, you know, at the end of the game, you can have what's behind door number 1, 2, or 3, right? Remember that? And the contestants could keep what they'd won so far in the game, or they could kind of give it all up at the chance that there might be really big money behind door 1, 2, or 3. And it was kind of fun to watch it because it was agonizing, because the people are thinking, you know, I already have 15,000 here, but there might be 100,000 behind that door. And so they would agonize there, and there could be that money, or there also could be somebody dressed as a toddler in a giant rocking chair, right, behind the door. And what the contestants were really looking for was inside information to make the right decision. Isn't that what you and I are looking for when we're trying to be guided by God, right? We want to be able to join God in what God is doing all around us, but we want some inside information. God, what are you doing here, God? How do you want me to proceed in this situation? I think a lot of times we're like Jacob in Genesis chapter 20. I just wanted to write that down, and later on, I want you to go back and read Genesis 28, a fascinating passage of scripture when God is dealing with this guy by the name of Jacob, who really basically didn't listen to anybody, including God, so much in his life. And so one night when God spoke to him through an amazing vision that he had of this great stairway rising to heaven, this ladder with angels coming and going. And in Genesis 28, Jacob gets to the end of that vision, that dream, and he is blown away about the fact that God was in that vision and God was promising him that he was going to guide him through his life, and Jacob didn't even know it. There's a great line there in Genesis chapter 28 where Jacob says, quote, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. Wow. I've thought so many times down through the years, oh God, you were there. You were there. And I didn't see you there. Some of us are here this morning and we're walking through some times in our lives when we need major direction. Some of us are walking through some health issues. We want to know where to go to college. We want to know who we should marry. We're thinking about maybe what job to take. Here's one of the goals of my life more and more is that I will be growing more sensitive to the moving of God in my life. That's one of the prayers I have every Sunday morning, especially. God, I want to see what you're doing. God, help me to understand what you're doing as I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God so I can join you in that work. Let me tell you, church, don't go through your life without ever going on the adventure of listening to God and hearing him say, here's the way I want you to go. Here's the person I want you to marry. Here's the job I want you to take. God wants to guide you and me. We have to be sensitive to listen to that. Number four, God uses his word to guide us. God uses his word to guide us. Here's an outstanding, one of my favorite verses in all the scripture, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." Wow. It's not something dead. It's not something that it's sterile. It's not like Shakespeare or Dostoevsky or anybody else that you and I might read, even C.S. Lewis. The Word of God is different than anything else. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates. The Word of God penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. It goes deeper than anything else does in your life and mine. Joints and marrow. Look what the Word of God does. It judges the thoughts. Glory to God. The attitudes of our hearts. God guides through his word. Somebody once said this, why is it that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic? I know there's a subjectivity to the guidance of God, but listen to me this morning, folks. Here's something very objective. God will never guide you, absolutely never guide you, in a way that is contrary to his word. Wow, that's huge. I should have heard a huge amen on that one. He will never do it. So many times people come to my office and they say, well, you know what? I'm going to go this way. And I'll say, well, hold it a second. The Word of God says you shouldn't go that way. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to do what I want. Well, then that's you guiding yourself. That's not God guiding you. Because God will never guide you in a way that is contrary to his word. Never. 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 His word is alive and active. His word guides us and directs us. The God of the Bible speaks to us through his word. God guides through his word. Number five today, God also guides through community. Community. Each other. We need each other in this fight. How about it, church? Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. It says, for a lack of guidance, a nation fails. We could say a family. We could say a church fails. But victory is won through what, folks? Many advisors. John Ortberg, in his book about guidance, tells a story of being in a meeting with a bunch of worship leaders, and one of the worship leaders had this idea that they thought was just amazing, but everybody else in the team thought it was terrible. But then the person kept insisting, but the Lord gave me this idea. And everybody else said, no, the Lord does better work than that. He didn't guide you in that one. But they kept saying, but God gave me this. Well, you know, let me tell you something, church. Whenever somebody tries that on you, you got to say this to them, all right? Just say, look, you tell God to tell me that, and when he does, then I'll get back with you. That line, many people have maybe even been married, sadly, to the wrong person because somebody came up to them and said, you know, God told me I should marry you. You should probably run far from somebody who says that. As a general rule, if you think an idea came from God, you know what? It'll be good and people will know it around you because there's a corporate aspect to the guidance of God. There really is. Look what it says there. Victory is won through many advisors. If I come up with what I think is a great idea and Don Heindel thinks that it's a humdinger, I'm not moving forward with it, right? Guidance, God guides through Don Heindel in my life, all right? God guides through community. He guides in part through wise men and wise women who speak into our lives. That's huge. That's huge. God guides through community. Number 6, God also guides through prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, one of my favorite verses. Call to me and I will answer you and I'm going to tell you great things that you don't yet know. Here's a great question for us to ask. If God is getting ready to do a great work, if God is getting ready to do something great, are you in a place to join him in that right now? Prayer should always be our first course of action. God guides through prayer. Number 7, God also guides through times of waiting. See, we think that when we're waiting on something and we're praying about it, maybe for days or months or maybe even years, we're thinking to ourselves, God's not guiding me. No, hold a second. God also guides. He's at work, even when you don't think he's at work, right? He guides behind the scenes. How many of us have ever prayed for something for a long, long time, and we didn't see him answer it? And then finally, whew, it came through. Was God at work during that time? Was God still guiding you and guiding me? Yes, he was. He was for sure. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was somebody who spent 8 years in a Soviet prison gulag. And he did it for just speaking negatively once about Joseph Stalin way back in the 40s. Actually, in the 30s, I think, when that happened. But he wrote about his experiences in what somebody think is one of the most remarkable books ever written, this book called The Gulag Archipelago. Some of you may have read this book, fascinating book, where he talks about his experience. He talked about all the horrible things that had happened to him and the horrible things that he had seen down through the years when he spent those 8 years in that prison. And yet, as he gets to the end of that book, he talks about how in that prison, he found Christ. He was led to Christ by a Jewish follower of Jesus. And he gets to the end of that book, and as he reflects on all that God had done in those 8 years of waiting, 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 being tortured and seeing all these things, here's what he ends up saying. Quote, he says, "Bless you, prison, for having been in my life." He talks about how if it were not for that prison time when he was laying on that rotting straw on his bed, if he'd never been there, he would have never met Jesus Christ because Christ came to him in that prison camp, in that gulag. And it took him being on his knees like that, helpless, to get to that spot. Look at it in the Bible, my friend. Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David, Paul, Jesus learned so many deep lessons when they were waiting. Number 8, sometimes you're going to miss God's guidance. You're only human. There are going to be times when you're going to miss the timing. I think, especially for those of us, I'm just going to be honest with you here today, for those of us who are spiritual leaders, one of the most difficult struggles for us is to admit when we've missed the guidance of God. But you know, we shouldn't do that. I want you to think about this. It says a lot about you if you can admit a mistake, because a mistake is actually an opportunity in disguise. Isn't that true, church? And so, guess what? There will be times when I miss the guidance of God. There will be times when you miss the guidance of God. It's okay. It's not sinful. You just missed it. Acknowledge it. I think we did that as a church with the pause. We admitted some things. It's okay to do that. Mistakes are opportunities in disguise. God is still at work. You might have missed it. Doesn't mean that God has stopped working. Isn't that true, church? Glory to God for that. And then finally this morning, I want you to think about this. Watch out for the canaries. Canaries. I learned something on an airplane to Mexico the other day. I learned that back in the day, before there were electronic means to measure the levels of gas inside a mine, did anybody know this? Miners actually took canaries down there in the mine with them. Canaries. Because they'd be chirping, chirping, chirping all day long. But when the methane gas or whatever gas is down there rose to a level that was unsafe, the canaries would stop chirping. And the miners knew they were in trouble. They had to get out of that mine. And I think all of us should have some canaries in our lives, right? We should have some people in our lives who aren't afraid to come and say, you know what, here's what I really think about this. That's what I love about Don Heindel. He's that person in my life. Love that. I have other people like that too. Don Greenfield and others. They're not afraid. Karen Reedy, she's that person in my life. Oh, glory to God for that. But we ought to all have some things in our lives, like the peace of God or trusted friends or what I want to call maybe a deep gut level check. We ought to all have these things that tell us, hey, the danger levels are rising here, Bob, in your life. And if you go and do that, you could be in for an explosion. And so step back. And listen again. Oh, as Christ is formed in your life and mine, one of the things he does is he guides and directs, and he makes his will known. It's such a joy to walk with Jesus. How about a church? To have this expert walking alongside of us. And may you and I rely upon him as we focus on this vision for our own hearts and lives in the year 2020. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's